It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Exodus today, Exodus chapter 23. We're going to begin with the first verse, so please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many rest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. The sixth year thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with the vineyard and with the olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaiden and stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto thee to be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt take a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time of the appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. In the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year all thy male shall appear before God. Thou shalt not offer blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shalt thou the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seeth a kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and be an adversary unto thy adversaries. What a beautiful verses of Scripture to read today. I hope that you enjoyed them. Let's begin now with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together enjoy this time of fellowship. Oh, it's over your word. As we have read it, we desire that you will guide and lead us through it. Please that your Spirit, He will be with us to guide us, to lead us, to teach us, to change our heart, to change our life. Please, dear Father, that that be the case today. And please that we listen, we are obedient, whether we're born again or not born again. If we're not born again, the first step of obedience is for salvation. So please, dear Father, today, that you will send your Spirit, that He will convict the heart of those that are lost, that are listening, and today they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please, today, that they come. It's so important that they listen to your call and are obedient and get their sins taken away by your power, and only because you went to the cross of Calvary, died there to have our sins taken away. Father, please bring those that are lost today to you. Please, those that are saved, bring those today closer to you, that they may not only know you as their Savior, but also walk with you and grow with you. Please help today to guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, what a wonderful opportunity we have to come together. I'm glad that you've joined us, and please enjoy the study today. We're going to find that today, in this day that we live in, we need to go back to God's Word, because it's very quickly here we can see how that by the way that we do things in our laws and our judicial system today, that we have definitely left the Word of God and the will of God. And I can see very clearly, just by looking at these simple laws, not millions and millions of pages of laws, but these few laws, if they be done correctly, we don't need the rest of all these laws that's been put into place. God is giving these instructions to the people, and specifically to the judges, because the judges are going to be, and Moses will put them into place, they will be the ones to rule. And God gives them and us and the nation of Israel here very special and very clear instructions. So we need to listen very carefully as we look at these instructions, that we pay attention to them, that we're obedient to them, that we know which is right, and that we can serve our risen God and grow in Him and get along with mankind, with our neighbors too, and our enemies, as this is going to deal with. So with that in mind, let's begin now with the first verse. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Now, we're going to sum that up pretty quickly here, and we're going to call that word gossip. We're not to gossip. It wouldn't be much use for the phones. You wouldn't see somebody on a cell phone constantly, would you? Most conversations today, sad to say, are built around some sort of gossip. Did you hear? Oh, did you know? And sad to say that there's so little truth to what is being said. We need to be very careful that when we say something, when we speak, that we speak nothing but truth, and we speak it in a direction and a form of helping, of building, and not a form of destruction, because that's what's so common today. So common today, it is set up on the destroying someone because of that gossip. And you say, oh, no, I don't do that. I mean, I may gossip a little bit, but, oh, I sure, it's not to harm or to hurt. Well, you better check to see what you're saying, because many times it's even a truth that you're saying, but when you're saying it in a form of condemnation or criticizing those people, then it's still no good. And so be very, very careful. The Word of God's very clear. This is the same as murder, as being a thief, being an adulterer. It's the same to be one that spreads gossip, raise a false report. Be very, very careful. Watch what you say. Begin to be a good listener and not such a constant speaker and saying something all the time. I know folks today that I wish they would listen to themselves. I know that they would hate if someone was saying about them what they're saying about someone else. And if they would just put themselves in that place and look back to God's Word, God says, don't do it. And it says, with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. We need to be a righteous witness. We need to speak truth. We do not need to be called and in connection as believers as being a part of the wicked. And that's exactly what God is saying to the nation of Israel and also to these judges as they begin. We need to see that you're listening. Your decision is upon truth, not upon gossip. And then we begin with the second verse. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many, to wrest judgment, to force judgment, or this type of violence that's there. And the second verse, it covers a couple of things. Number one, God does not like as a group of people get together to march, to riot. God hates gangs. Anything that brings and promotes wickedness. And then this one gets on the bandwagon, and this one gets on the bandwagon. And before long, while you got this great big crowd, most of them don't even know what they're screaming about and what they're marching about. And some of them may agree with some of the principles. Some of them may disagree with many of the principles. Who knows? But we need to stay away from it. You know, to attend a meeting where it's constructive and we're bringing truth forwards, that's a different story. But most of the things that we have today, and particularly here with any kind of gang relations here, it's no good. And so we need to see that we stay away. Shall not follow a multitude to do evil. Well, what I'm doing is not—it's not all that bad. Oh, you just keep your freedom. Stay away from these crowds, because there's going to be folks in there that maybe you didn't intend it to be evil, didn't intend it to be wrong, but it is. And so, be very, very careful when you get involved with that. Also, the second side of this is with the judge. A judge should not change his mind because of this mob, or because of the multitude, because of the crowd. He should not change his mind. His judgment should be up on the truth, not on popularity. With the Jews, whenever a judge is placed on the bench, and I'm just going to use that term because you're familiar with it, with our government today, as a judge would be placed on there, the youngest of the judges, and not necessarily in age, but in time served, in other words, if you were just placed on the bench, you, after hearing the evidence, you would give your decision first. Because what would happen, the senior officers, they could kind of have a little click there of what they do, and they could sway your opinion as a young judge. And you may change your mind. God gave you a mind. You speak your mind. And God had it set up. It was done first. The youngest would speak first. Then the elders would bring their opinion, so to not sway the judgment the thought that this young man had as sitting in that place and position. And so we must not go with the majority. And if you're a young, you just got onto the bench, for instance, you're serving on a board as an example, and here comes, and they go through, and those that have been there a while, they probably speak first. Well, the chair should not recognize them first, should recognize the vote of the youngest, and he would vote first, and then the rest. Because if maybe three or four of the people that, oh, they've been here a long time, I think that I probably should change my vote, even though I really don't agree with them. You see, if you've already voted, you've already voted. And so I thought that was something very interesting, and I hope that you see the need for that. Isn't God's Word wonderful? How it gives us directions and ways to go and how to do business. We need to, again, the truth, not popularity. Now we look to the third verse. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. Judgment, justice should always be served. It should always be fair. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, you will get equal justice. Now, we sure don't see that today. You got enough money to hire a good enough lawyer. You can even go out and literally hire the jury. You hire people that pick the jury so that they will rule in your favor. That's not justice. And the poor certainly can't do that. And so we're really out of kelter. We're really in trouble today with many of the ways that things are done. And so we need to get back to the biblical way. But it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. It doesn't matter. You need to realize, you need to recognize that justice should be done. Truth should be presented. And if lies are presented, which many times there are, these judges need to have the wisdom of God to discern which is lies and which is truth, and then make that judgment call. But it must be fair. It cannot be because of someone being very wealthy, thinking in the back of your mind that, well, maybe they can help me get reelected next time. And we have many laws that are made today because this man pads this man's pocketbook. And we need to see that that doesn't take place. Truth and justice should be fair for the rich and for the poor. We need to see. Sometimes we'll find today that someone that is rich, then they'll really make an example of them. And so that's not justice either. It says, well, this guy's poor and he doesn't have anything, and so then he gets a lighter sentence. That's not fair. It should be equal. Yes, the rich man could pay a larger fine, for instance, if that's the case. But it still needs to be fair. It needs to be just. And we need to see that we do it that way. And so we need to be in prayer for our judges, for the House, the Senate, on the state and on the national level. And be in prayer for them. We need to be in prayer for our president, that he seeks the will of God and he desires the will of God, and he will do what's right, not what's popular. Do what's right. And so we need to be in prayer for them. You know, stop condemning them so much and start praying for them and building them up and lifting them up that they will seek God's will and God's way, because justice sure isn't carried out today. Right must always be the case. It has always got to be right. Doesn't matter if you're poor. The poor doesn't get a special treatment. When justice is served, it'll be right. The poor man doesn't get less. The rich man doesn't get more. It's fair. Please see the need for fair. If thou meet thine enemies, ox or his ass going astray, verse 4, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, thou wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Let's look at those two verses here, because those verses are dealing with thou meet thine enemy's ox or ass going astray. Enemies. You're to take that animal back to the enemy. You're to take them back in proper care. They've gotten loose. They're coming down the road, and so you capture them up, and your first thought is, I'm just going to drive on. He deserves to lose those animals the way he treated me. You can just hear yourself. You can hear others saying the same thing. We're not to do that. The nation of Israel is told, if someone wrongs you and you see their beast or something going wrong there, you step right in to help, and you help immediately. If one's burdened, and maybe that man that is so mean and so nasty and hates you and has done everything he can to hurt and destroy you, and all of a sudden you see over there and maybe he's hurt, or maybe he's having trouble with something he's working with, do you just drive on? Do you just walk on? Or do you stop and help? God says stop and help. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, if you'll look back to Proverbs chapter 25, and we'll look at verse 21 and 22, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, we don't do it to bring torment to them, but that's what'll happen. If they do not recognize the love that we're showing to them, and they continue to misuse and abuse us and lie about us and everything, that's up to them. God will, He will hold them accountable. And so don't think you need to keep track, because God will. And what you're literally doing by you showing true love to these people, you're heaping coals upon their head, because of what they're in turn doing back to you. We hope that by your willingness, by me showing kindness, that it will bring them to a place of repentance, and they'll see the true love that God has to give, the opportunity of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus, that they'll come. But please, do you see what we need to do today? Don't we need to change our lives? Wouldn't this be quite a world if everyone would, to the best of their ability, live according to God's law? And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about here just simple biblical principles of how to live and how to judge. And so I hope that you see that today. Verse 6, thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Again, the poor should fare at the hands of the judges. They shouldn't get a better deal. They shouldn't get a worse deal just because they're poor. We need to see that it's fair. And God cares for the poor. He doesn't care for the lazy. And many times those two are hand in hand. But He does care for the poor. He doesn't want, just because they're poor, they don't get a little extra kick here. They get judgment. If they have done something improper, they are held responsible. If something has been done to them, they are given the proper reward that should be given, whether you be rich or whether you be poor. Keep thee far from false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. That's verse 7. Not only don't get involved with false matters, lies, stay away from them. Stay away from those people, those organizations that are false and ungodly. And we have a multitude of them today. But we pay no attention to that. We see one little, oh, they do this good deed, and so now you join up with them. A liar is a liar. And a half a truth is a lie. And we need to be able to, by the wisdom of God, discern that. And we need to stay away from these things that are false. Whether it's this multitude that we talked about here in the beginning, as far as staying away from the multitude, thou shalt not follow a multitude of to do evil. Whatever it might be, when you see false teaching, you see wickedness going on, not only just kind of say, well, that's their problem. Get away from it. We need to separate ourselves from it. Stay away from it. Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Thou shalt take no gift. You know, if you're a judge, let's begin there. If you're a judge, you better be very, very careful, because someone can give you something, and even subconsciously, it can change your mind just a little bit of what the truth is. Lobbyists today do that, don't they? They come in with all their gifts and all their opportunities, and they try to come in, and I'm sure not all do, but I'm afraid to say that most, that they come in and they have an agenda, and that agenda is to sway your opinion, your vote, to their side, because you see their side is right. Now, that may be true and it may not be true. But if there's no gifts given, if there's none of these little opportunities and these little trips and these little gifts and different things, if that doesn't exist, it is easier for a judge or for a senator or a member of the House, even president, whatever level. I don't care what level you're talking about. If you can just look at the facts and not have someone in there bringing you these gifts, bringing you these little perks, and you can't believe how that you're going to show a slight bit of favoritism to them. Well, they helped me back here when I needed help. They got me elected, so I really have to show a little bit of favoritism here. No, you don't. You do what's right. And the judge was expected that, and God knew that that'd be a problem. So he said, please, no gifts, because it could sway our thought. It could make us give an answer that's not right, make a poor judgment. And we need to be so careful that we do not do that. And I don't care what position you're in. It can be something that's very small, and yet somebody comes in and shows you this favoritism, so you change your mind just a little bit from what should be right. Let's see that we stand up on the truth. Let's see that we're not a gossip. Let's see that we separate ourselves from these that walk and deceive and lie. Let's be separated. my dear friend, it's a wonderful opportunity to come into the house, to come together and be together as a church, as believers. It's wonderful if you've come to listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to ask you a question. What are you going to do about Jesus?